I'm thinking of this as like a birthday episode. I guess it's a birthday episode. I mean, it's weird to celebrate like a birthday for like an RSS feed. it doesn't exist. Hey. It's like happy birthday, digital code.
It's like, well, it's not so much like celebrating the code, right? You're getting into like, hey, like I started this process and this work so many years ago,
yeah,
and it feels like it's taken on some level of importance by now,
yeah,
which means something.
Yeah, that, no, it means something.
That carries.
No, it means something.
There's some
nice
level of weight here, you know?
I have a lot of downloads. I have, like, I haven't checked in a while. I used to check every, like, 5 minutes. I'm not kidding. Like, when I first started the show, I would literally check every 5 minutes. I'd be like, did I get a new one? One! Like, the first episode I posted.
I believe it.
What I checked, it was, like, 30 downloads.
Bro.
You have to play the starter from the bottom. Except, something funny happened in between all this, which is my... There's been this shift from looking at like using unique download as like the count. There's like whatever the server that I use to something called the IAB, which is like the international something or other. And so I have less in IAB. What is IAB? Yeah, you know me. What is IAB? Interactive Advertising Bureau. So they're more stringent in their count. So according to the IAB or IUD number, IBS number, I have 1 million. I have 1 million downloads, and 37,000. So I just had cracked 1 million. But according to the unique, which is what I've been doing this whole time, I have 1,234,000 downloads. So you know,
so
it's good.
What that probably does is it cancels out like multiple downloads from the same source or the same
is that what that
IP
is
or the same device. So if someone listens to something twice, or they download it twice, or listen to it like so many times over, then it would effectively not count it as a second unique download.
Oh,
this is probably something that happens for like. Actually, I was going to say music, but then I realized that's actually probably really wrong.
Well, I should have looked into this. Wow, I should have looked into this earlier. I'm glad I'm doing some show work. IAB is an acronym for the Interactive Advertising Bureau, an organization that, with the help of Libsyn and others, has developed a series of industry standards to define what counts as a download. In addition to filters used by Libsyn's unique download metrics, the IAB certified metric applies the following filters. Oh, this is what you're saying. Applying the IP address blacklists.
Exactly.
Removes downloads coming from IP addresses blacklisted for behavior not consistent with a website visitor or podcast listener. For example, a serving caching content. Oh, that's probably real.
So you can't get views based on like bot accounts.
Right. So you can't game it as
Makes
hard.
Sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Applying user agent blacklists. Yeah, removes user agents that are known bots, computer blah blah blah, ensures that at least 1 minute of playable content is downloaded. So someone who just accidentally streamed your thing for like a second, that doesn't count.
Right.
Oh wow, look
Makes
at me,
sense.
I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm learning. Yeah. I'm gonna put that sound clip in. Ralph saying I'm learning.
Hi Lisa! Hi Super Nintendo Chalmers. Meow. I'm learning.
Yeah, I learned it a lot on this show. I feel like, I mean, if you like listen to the first episodes, they all sound like complete shit.
Yeah.
They're awful.
I came in listening to your stuff probably around like the time that you were putting out like the 90s and the hundreds, I think, like the early.
Like the episode 90? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I used to put so much work, which is so funny. Like, I used to put so much work into these shows. Like, I know that sounds bad. Like, it feels like,
And you've just given up, huh?
I've just given up. I was very precious, first of all, about, like, every second and, like, every single thing. And also sometimes in a stupid way. Like, some episodes I totally just sabotage with my own idiocy, like, editing. Like, I'm sure people can find examples. I know one off the top of my head, which was a big boo-boo that I never should have done, which is I deleted the breaths of the person, but instead of deleting them, what you should do is mute them using a filter, a kind of filter thing.
Right.
It's called, what's it called? God, I've done this a billion times now. It's called a noise gate. So you're supposed to filter right. out that using a noise gate, and then you, so you keep all the, you keep the natural you, things that a human being does, which is like, the, yeah, the pauses yeah. and, you know,
yeah,
like that.
And you yeah. deleted them all. So,
I deleted them
so
all.
It's all strung yes. together yes. and it just goes.
Yes, it's from, like a chipmunk.
From like one sentence.
Yes, it's like a chipmunk. And I just was like,
bro,
that was an example
bro.
Of over-editing. Oh my God. Oh my God. I have no
damn.
Idea. Like,
hey.
I didn't use the leveler right. Like, I should have been using a bunch of different, like, I should have been using this and that. I should have gotten way better headphones at the beginning. I know they're expensive.
Yeah.
But if you have like sensitive headphones, and there are really good ones that are
oh,
like
yeah.
$120. Like, you don't have to break the bank. Sony, JBL, those, at least
yeah.
in my experience, those are good phones. I have these Bose, these very, very gourmet Bose. That made a huge difference because you don't hear. You don't hear, like, some are just
you
better
hear
than
all
others.
All the little like, like,
yeah, garbage
noises
on the track.
That
yeah.
can't get like picked up from just playing from a like speaker.
Yeah.
As it
yeah.
naturally would.
Which is so stupid. I used to edit this using a speaker, which is so
yeah,
crazy.
Like, most people are going to be like listening in on like little earphones anyway. So, you know,
yeah.
hey.
I've then been periods where I would add a lot of like what I you know, what I call like embellishments, like clips and stuff. Like, I would find things. I don't do that anymore for my show, really, like every now and then, but for
yeah.
whatever reason, I guess it's like a priority thing. Like, I feel like it's nice and everything, and it's entertaining, and it's good to like break up the what like a podcast conversation is, which is just like a recorded conversation between, in my case, usually just like two people. Like, I don't have many
right.
episodes with more than one person. I probably like a 10 or something. Like, it's vast majority one-on-one conversations. So it's, it depends too. Some people have a certain kind of energy. Some days it's just, you know, slower, or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of factors that go into like the pace of that conversation. But certainly
yeah.
adding clips broke up things. And it also kind of like soothes people's minds, because people, at least in some ways, I feel that like people recognize like the ad formats that like, oh, content gets broken up between commercials.
It transitions from like a conversation tone to something that's more like a monologue, or something that is outside of that conversation necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. It's intertextuality.
It's good to break it up, because like, it's especially like a lot of podcasts tend to be like an hour to 2 hours long. I've now made some clips that I believe are running on 3 or 4 hours
yes.
in total runtime.
yes,
as you are aware. And so the only way to make these like bearable to listen to is to just straight up like make it possible to listen to them in the first place. And so to do that, you know, you can't just have this one person speaking for 2 hours at a time.
Yeah.
You have to mix it up, or else it's like people are going to lose attention.
Well, that's the shock jock model
yeah.
that worked so well in the 90s. People really like those, and it's not even just the 90s thing, because I think there was this kind of golden era
radio.
Of DJs.
It's,
yeah.
it's classic radio tactic.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all it is. Because like most radio stations, even if they're not running ad copy, you know, you have like a set of 2 to 5 songs, and then a DJ comes on and says, "Hey guys, yada yada." They do their whole spiel, and then it goes right back into music, and it helps kind of like get people into this frame of, I'm not just listening to music, I'm listening to this radio station, and I associate both the music and the person and these thoughts and feelings with this radio station at all. And that really helps establish a tone, because, you know, sure, you can be listening to music, but then like, how do you find it again, right? What's the number? What's the, you know, what's the general feeling I get from this? And that's all what kind of gets associated in once you break up that general feeling.
Yeah, it.
Some point here, I probably should like introduce.
Oh yeah, you should
myself.
Introduce yourself. We haven't done that.
So whenever you're done, I'll just do that so it can be like a clean
I'm
break.
gonna put this in now. I'm gonna put this like it's just gonna fade, but it's gonna be like at some point we should introduce me. People are gonna be confused. Who are you, Ian? Who is this? Where who am I talking to? Where am I?
Could not tell you. I am simply here. I'm vibing.
Well, so introduce yourself. Say who you are. What do you do? What are your interests? Obviously, you're the king of all my listeners.
So I am Ian Anderson. I am I serve food at the moment. It's not a glamorous job, believe me, but it pays the bills. But in my spare time, I collect a lot of audio. I run my own Plex server mostly for my friends and I. But you know, I collect a lot of like digital media. I collect a lot of everything that you could imagine, movies, TV shows, music. It's been this thing that I've just l done literally since I was in like high school. One Christmas break, I discovered the joy of ripping CDs and just like my parents have this massive CD collection, I think from like the 90s or something, and I just spent the entire break just going through the whole thing, importing it into my computer prior to the rise of, Spotify and all the streaming music services, which was cool. It was great. It worked out nice. And I have since expanded that, of course. But in the last like few years, I've made a concerted effort to expand that into more archival work around like interviews and documentaries and everything else that has to do with essentially, communism and anti-imperialism, trying to make something work here in the sense of what is available. And Sina, since I started listening to your podcast, particularly not to say that it was like the first one or anything, it kind of gave me the inspiration to try more of that. So that's kind of where I've been. But outside of that, of course, I've done my own fair share of activism involved in various things. I mean, my name is not searchable by any means because I share it with a baseball player and a famous
White guy
Jethro Tull
problems.
man, of course. No. I mean, like
Nobody has my name.
it's a very unique name in the sense of like it's an extremely famous one, but it gives me some level of anonymity.
It's
You know,
true.
it's great. I
Until
like
now,
that.
of course.
Right. Now, well, it's I have news articles written about me in both positive and negative ways. So I mean, I can't say it's now. I've been involved in campus organizing. I was pretty deeply involved with a lot of the racial justice conversation at Clemson for a while.
Media radicalized you over these years. All this media you've been hoarding.
No, well,
It's true though. No, but it's true. No, really.
no,
Like that's
yeah.
why, like when people like think that like, oh, mass media controls your brains. It's like, it's not that far from the truth. When all you're exposed to is like anti-communism 24/7 for decades and decades,
Yes.
then yeah, guess what? You're gonna have a bunch of people who are anti-communist. So
The
like, this media
first thing
project is,
that
we haven't even told them what we're doing. We haven't announced it. Should we announce it?
no, we haven't. Well, the first thing, the first time that I really thought about like what socialism could be or like what even like the concept of it was, right? Like even divorced from like socialism as a term, as a concept, so on, was like listening to Rise Against, right? Like I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a hardcore band. the stuff they say is fucking great. It's yeah, so just to build on to that. But yeah, so sure, let's get into
so
it.
All of your hoarding has been to my benefit, which is to say that this, so part of what I've done over the years is do these kind of mixtapes or, you know, kind of like, you know, I call archive episodes. And that's also something that I've kind of put on the wayside, I'll be honest. Like, I haven't done a ton of them. I used to do a lot more. I don't know. I don't know what happened to my brain in these last 4 years. I mean, maybe I know a couple of things that happened, but like, I just, I found myself less omnivorous media wise that like, I used to go out and like find stuff to like put on the show. And now I just found that like, I don't know.
It's transitioned to a lot more conversation style.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It happens. You've actually used a few of the things that I made. Like,
it was a backdoor pilot for our new show. We're launching. This is the exciting part, folks. For a 4-year birthday anniversary, we're celebrating 4-year birthday by launching drum roll, a new podcast. Yay! This time it's all stolen content instead of some stolen content, which is my show.
Right. Well. See. Now.
Strictly for educational purposes.
Right. Well. It's stolen for whichever reason. Right. I don't really care about making money. I don't really care about what happens on my end. The point of me even like putting all this together is that people listen to it. I don't care about anything else. So. Here we are. We have a number of episodes that I've created in the last half a year, focusing on things like Bolivia, Venezuela, Gamal Abdel Nasser. You have Mugabe. Various other things await. For example, I was the one that found and put together Cena's episode on Castro in Africa. It's some really cool stuff. My goal here is to create a kind of like autopsy. Well, particularly in regards to Venezuela, Bolivia, so on, is to create a kind of like autopsy, right? Of how these things happened, the like news media that surrounded them, and the various facets of what happened. We know plenty about the coup, like the, you know, Juan Guaido. There was an assassination attempt on Maduro prior to any of this going on. And there was also the attack on the embassies. There were multiple embassies, the New York, the DC, Venezuela embassies, that were overtaken by
God, I forgot those. I forgot about those. Yeah, that was so insane.
They were taken by
such
the Venezuelan
era.
Like
the John Bolton era.
Gusanos. You had literal like tech executives like in encouraging people to do like violent acts, breaking into the embassies, like getting embassy employees to evacuate out of fear, right? And this was the state of it. Like a Oracle like tech executive was involved in this. There were like politicians, all kinds of shit going on, right? Like that's just one corner of what was going on. And like so many times you had this kind of like media circus around things that just never actually panned out the way that they were told to be. I mean, the bridge, everything about the stupid bridge. So anyway, the point is, I mean, there's points that I like to pull out and kind of like splice together different media bits from here and there and there. And I think it forms a semi-incomplete complete timeline of, you know, things going on. Now, some of these are obviously depending on what coverage existed, what is available, etc., don't quite get the same treatment. I think my Bolivia episode is a little different, things like that. But Venezuela, I think, was definitely a pet project for me. It's extensive, it's very long, and that really hones in on what's going on. That said, you know, we have plenty more outside of that. There's a lot going on. And so what I wanted to do was have Sina kind of run the show in the sense of like the front end, making sure that things got posted and put out there in a correct order.
And this is really, and that's the thing, this is more your show than mine. I'm just kind of publishing it. So you right. decide what episodes go up. You decide, yeah. You've made the mixes, you know, so it's, you know, this is, I feel like, you know, this is our, you know, like this is just a kind of joint project we're running, but really I'm just the labor behind it. I mean the labor. I'm just like the final. You're the labor. I'm the labor. I'm the labor. Just posting all your labor.
Right.
And,
yes.
You know, and that's the easy part, which is great. It works for me, and I'm happy to do it. And I think for the first like month or so, and I'll sort of put the episodes that we're posting. I'll sample them and I say, oh, go check out the Anti-Imperialist Archive, and like you know, and just remind people that exists. But people should subscribe to it. It'll be free. It'll never have any ads. It'll just be free, and you know, I'm paying for it out of my pocket. I don't care. Like it's a great, it's a great, all the great work you're doing in terms of like in terms of curating this information, like that's the work, right? Is like listening, curating, editing,
making it listenable in the first place. There are a god awful number of clips out there that just have like, I cannot tell you how much static has to be like edited out, especially out of like stuff that's ever been like properly cleaned. I mean, sure, like it's fine in its original state, but I promise you it sounds so much better once you actually clean it up and can listen to it in a way that doesn't make your ears bleed. It works out great.
Believe me, listen to the early episodes of my show and you'll understand the importance of slightly the slightest amount of like aural janitorial work that's necessary for this stuff. But I mean, a lot of this stuff too is stuff that, you know, is ignored. It's just put on YouTube. I mean, there's a weird irony. Is a weird sort of irony of being part of like being on the receiving end. Let me put it this way. Being on the receiving end of information war is that none of your stuff gets copyrighted. It's just out there on the internet. You could just post it. No one cares. And, you know, whereas, you know, like, it does free you up in a sense of like the fact that they're so naked with their info war. So that like day one of Russia, Ukraine, they start just purging as many RT accounts as they can. Like this is, this is like liberals who control like media and stuff, like media libs, they are shameless.
I had whole friends get fired from their jobs, like doing mundane work, like grunt work that you know just meant that they were like providing an alternative view about fucking like Cuba, right? And shit like that, like writing about like the protests that were happening in America. RT provided a financial way to make that a career. Now, you know, like propagandist, whatever the fuck, that has no functional meaning when that is the entire system that our media culture is built on, right? Like I've begged my friends and like college media alone just to like cover things that were happening in the world, and it was always, this is always a bad time, I can't do it, it's not worth it, there's too much work involved, it's just there's always something, you know.
Sorry, I muted myself again. It's damn, my dog came down the stairs and I'm petting her, not that it's loud. But
no,
her little nails are scratching. Her little Chihuahua nails are scratching the floor now. We live, part of the work of doing this media work that, like, this phase of my life is in, I guess, is the simple realization that, like, there are hundreds of millions of people, if not, oh, a billion, what am I saying? Billions, in fact, because you include China in this too. There are, like, billions of people that are imperialist, you know, corporate news simply ignores and actively excludes. It's just like that. It's just open fact, right? Like, that's just their job. They go along with it. They're happy to do it. And not even in terms of, like, lack of, like, denying those, say, like, channels access, right? So, like, they go after Press TV. They go after Arca. They go after Kawasachin News. They haven't done it yet.
I am honestly really surprised at this point that like, the protests haven't been a larger way to just go after, like, Press
TV. Well, what's left?
TV and totally shut them down.
They can't. I mean, they've done everything they could. They did it during Trump. They got their website. Like, if you go to the American website of Press TV, there's, like, a GIF or, like, a JPEG of, like, this has been seized.
It just says this, like, has been seized. Yeah.
It's like the opposite of the FBI warning that you get in on old videotapes, like FBI. It's like the opposite of that.
Right, but,
it's like FBI. But, this has already been taken.
Oh yeah, but see, like people are still employed by it. There's still a source of funding for it, which I feel like is totally different.
Off YouTube. Yeah. They've been off YouTube for a while.
Okay,
I think.
Okay, gotcha.
Their channel got nuked. Yeah, it always happens. It always happens.
So, like, as far as I'm aware, though, there are still people that, like, have jobs with them. There's like some British PM or a former.
Yeah. Yeah,
British guy
they still hire people. They can still kind of function, like, part of the difficulty for people like them. And I've been on their show a couple times. Like, I'm, you know, it's that the liberals would rather deny their enemies, you know, permission to narrate than hold up their own supposed liberal principles. Like, that's it. That's the straight up truth of the matter. And, like, that's the moment we live in. They'd rather. People turn into this kind of, like, no homers club mentality when it comes to, like, their political enemies, and especially when they think that, oh, this person is supposedly on the left but fails my definition of what that means. And it's like,
right,
shut the fuck up, man. Take things on their merits.
It's all,
like, listen to
it's
things
all
and
bullshit.
and then judge it for yourself. But to preactively, like, clamp down, like, this is the liberals are just unleashed, they're unhinged and just, like, out for you know, blood wherever they go, roaming the halls for any thought crime that they can sniff out, because Iran, Venezuela, Russia, like, anything, like, all these rogue countries, they're a bunch of clowns who make it their lives, sometimes they're bots, a lot of times they are, at least in the Iranian case, like, who make it their lives to go after anyone they deem, like, not sufficiently reactionary enough. Like, that's the setting we're in now. It's fucked.
During the coup in
Bolivia,
Venezuela, there were
coup? There's so many coups.
Right, you know, there's been like 5-10 in the last, like, 3 years. I mean, God knows, right? But like during that, right? Like people would. I mean, obviously, I was spending a lot of time on Twitter watching things, like, go down, right? Because, like, I mean, here I am. I was living in, like, New York at the time. I just, like, during my shift and everything, things would happen, and it was weird. And, like there was so much happening on Twitter alongside the fact that there were just, like, viral, spam accounts, not spam, bot accounts that would just, like, repost the same, like, phrase about how Maduro was corrupt and the regime needs to fall and people are dying, and then you go tune into to the people that are actually, like, on the ground covering this, and they're saying, well, you know, things seem to be fairly normal. you have this, like, incident that's going on over at the bridge. But here in Caracas, things are normal, or, you know, as much as they can be with the weight of sanctions that had just recently been, like, brought in at the same time that the U.S. was insisting the state take on their literal, like aid bomb, right? Like the fucking horrific. Here, take our Trojan horse aid. It was sick. And that's kind of where it comes in, right? Like how do you get to be this like arbitrator of what's real and true when the people that are literally there on the ground are telling you that none of this is fucking real? It's all a fucking construct created for you as a person living in the West to manipulate with and like have as a event in your mind, right?
Yeah, the
And
spectacle of the rest of the world. Yeah, that's
yeah,
like the Western viewer.
it's all a spectacle, a construct. I mean, it's not real so much as it is real for you, right? And so like these outlets were the only ones covering or financing or funding the people that were actually speaking up and saying like this is what's actually happening. Like I'm sorry, Mr. lives in Miami with a German name or whatever the fuck. what you're telling me your family is going
Von
through is
Nazi
probably what
Burger.
right yeah like what these people are saying is fundamentally not true. It's not real. It's not there. And it so the point is like is especially when it comes to these other countries, it's only serving the purpose of like reinforcing what the State Department has said in the first place. Which is where I feel like it's so important. Like, look, I didn't understand shit about Mugabe until like the day he died. I swear to you. And that sucks. Like that is how like
That's our
warped
failure as like a
that is
class of
literally
people who are interested in this
exactly.
stuff that we never bothered to look into. And I'm the same way. I mean, like I have tons of lacuna that I've been addressing in my own show. Like I tweeted out once,
Yeah.
like radicalizing myself with every episode I edit of my own show.
Right.
And it's
Right.
you have that effect when you like when you just make the simple gesture of like talking to people who like never get asked. You know, you get a surprising
Yeah.
amount of information. I mean, it sounds so stupid to say it like that, but it's true that like
Yeah.
our the world that we get like given to us via our pathetic like monopoly controlled media like is so small and paltry. It's a corner of Western Europe plus America. Like that's our
Yeah.
news culture and whatever histrionic insane thing that like foreign policy is doing that week, or sometimes there's like, you know, things that flare up, right? Like,
Yeah.
and that's what it is, and that's our so-called news
Like
culture.
the day Castro died was the day like literally tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or even millions of people learned that he was respected and loved by the fucking world. Like at least in their eyes, in their mind, because that was such a huge day, because that was such a big news item that it covered, that it was covered for days, right? With different people coming out and speaking out for him, and then the entire Miami PSYOP like coming in saying, "Oh, you can't say that. You can't do that. You have to sit down. You can't, like, come on, come on." Like, even if that was the day he died, like you have no idea how many people learned what a good man he was at that time. Like, that is unreal to me, and that's honestly really fucking cool. And it's frustrating that this is how this all spreads, right?
Yeah.
Because it takes that one moment for people to actually like go and investigate, not while things are happening or while these people are still alive. I mean, like 10 years ago, you could go 10, 15 years ago, you could go on a trip to Cuba, meet Castro, meet any one of the people running the government as you pleased, and just see what their lives were like. And now he's dead. You can't do that now.
Yeah.
And it's very surreal to me that that is how that worked. But it is. And it's unfortunate that we can't go back to a time like that. And so this is also where, like, archival work is so important. I mean, it's where we can see those times come to life again, right? A pet project I've kind of been working on unsuccessfully. I think I told you a little bit about this. I reached out to Saul Lendo's family, trying to get in touch and see if they had any access to his old films, because Saul actually went to Cuba many times now, I believe. He was a documentarian, director, so on. He had two films back to back, well, you know, in whichever sense you can consider that, in which he went to Cuba and spent time with Castro and just, like, saw how he worked. I mean, Castro would go talk to people, right? And they would tell him all of their problems, what needed to be fixed, what they needed. And then he would motion to his right-hand man. He'd say, Guillermo, write that down. And every time, the problems would be fixed, the people would be better off. And this was like a process for him. Now, it wasn't just him doing this. It was so many Cuban government officials doing this, right? And the point is that he himself engaged in this process and made sure that needs were met and that people were seen and heard and cared for, right? And
but he's a dictator.
We hear it now, right?
But he's a dictator, Ian. Didn't you know that?
Now, right? Like you would not hear that for a minute in the American storm after his death. It was all about how he was a dictator. It was about how ruthless he was, how he nationalized all those poor corporate farms and land and factories. Oh, such a tragedy, you know.
Yeah.
And it's something. But that's where this stuff is important. And, you know, like Saul had so many different films that were so fucking cool. And I don't even think that we have access to like 90% of them, right? Like there's this film called Report from Beirut, right? With he was literally in Beirut during the like bombing, or like after, sorry. And he took video, he talked to the Lebanese and the Palestinians that lived there, like got their perspective. And I don't think there's really that many archival footage that took this down, right? Like obviously there is, right? And it is available, but
it's kept from us systematically,
right?
Like that's what it means to be on the receiving end of information war 24/7, run
exactly
by very powerful, like, deep state, like, factors that are filtered through a small in number but large in influence network of corporate broadcasters. And like that's the system of American, like, hegemony in the infosphere, is that there's a kind of like dribbling out effect. It's crazy.
The largest video sharing platform is now owned by the company of the same guy that helped Elon Musk buy Twitter, right? The largest video sharing platform is owned by the same company that has the most surveillance technology available in this world than essentially any other besides Amazon. And that doesn't like there are so many things that should make you think about that, right? Like this is the primary platform that so many people use on a daily basis just to get informed on today's news or whatever the fuck else. And that is effectively owned by the largest mass media surveillance company in the world. You know?
I mean, our job then, like, I mean, to think about this, to bring it back, is that, like, I think ultimately, like, your first job as a critical thinking person is to undo these insane, like, reactionary traces that they leave in you, these insane reactionary ideas that, like, Cuba is a dictatorship, where while at the same time the US has a concentration camp where they hold their prisoners of war that they never declare, that live outside of like lit that like live outside of the state of exception, that are like in the state of
Right.
exception. Like that's the
There.
atmosphere where you're crazy. So the first step is simply unlearning that by, listening to this interesting content that Ian has worked so hard to cull together and that I'm publishing, and just like spend time with it and think about it.
Believe
And like,
me.
we don't, it's that easy. It's that easy to not feed yourself. And my other thing here is that, like, I like think of my show as, it's a small show. I mean, it's a medium. I guess by now it's a medium-sized show because most podcasts are less than 100 subscribers. They get most like nine, something like 90% of podcasts get less than 100
They don't take
downloads.
off. They don't take off, and most of the time you'll click on a podcast and they have like their Twitter page or whatever. They have 100 people that follow, 50, right? And then you look at their views and it's like 50 per. That's it.
So yeah, there's a lot of small podcasts, but there's also a ton of like there's a few there's some very huge podcasts, and then there's like kind of medium shows like mine that have a dedicated following. You people, you listen to the show, I thank you so much. Join the Patreon if you want. Listen to more stuff. I haven't posted on the Patreon this month. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm going to post something soon. My brain has completely transformed into cottage cheese. But
It
it
happens.
happens. I will post more soon and I will catch up, I promise. But it's as simple as that, is don't like starve the media machine. You are missing nothing by not checking the New York Times or the mainstream news. You're missing nothing. You have nothing to learn there. You'll get it secondhand otherwise, probably in other ways.
Oh,
And
yeah.
most of the time it's just advertising, right? Like it's just advertising either directly or indirectly, and which is like basically what most of radio is now. Radio, if you like listen to any radio station, they're all owned by, what is it, Clear Channel? Something
Yeah,
like that.
it's
There's these corny
yeah.
formulas. They have these formulas, they play these sets, and then they get some vapid DJs to like read some copy that has been clearly written for them, which is paid for by someone, like, oh, today is International Corporate Sponsor Day. And like that's and then they like come up with some benign, like, oh, I was hanging out with my wife and corporate sponsor product, like, and it's like that's the fakeness of our and then like the in
Best
like it's
thing about like working in an indie radio station is that all I had to do was come in, and I even had it all like lined up. One, two, three, four. Sorry, we had Smokey PSAs, Smokey the Bear, and so all I had to do was play those Smokey jingles, and I was good. I was great. I loved it. It was my own like personal meme, Whatever. It worked out. And all you hear on like radio stations is like ear blasting car ads or some shit, Like, come
Yeah, it's all fake. It's all fake. We live in fake world. It's all just, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and we're the
none
Roger
is
Rabbit.
real.
Like it's all we're whatever his name is, Hoover, Bob Hoover, whatever. Like it's we just live in this world, and the only way you could take yourself out of it is by denying them your brain and your ears and your eyeballs, and just don't go to them. Like find your media sources, and if you really want to, like if you really want to follow stuff, you end up finding places that give you the information that's like a broader spectrum, at least. Like liberals love to feel that there's this thing
That
called
much more
objectivity, which th there's
interesting.
no such thing as objectivity. There's human beings can't be objective. Everything has framings. Everything has biases. You can't, like, liberal objectivity is a complete farce. But you that's why you need to have a broad spectrum of views that you are smart enough to collate and to check against each other and to find, you know, on some things you have to triangulate things. Sometimes you have to triangulate sources, especially like in Iran stuff. You have to like check the Iranian newspapers. You have to check the crazy psycho regime changes, what they're saying. Like the work is for you to do in this information warfare. Otherwise, you're just going to be smothered with it. And it's going to be like everything else in our society, where it's just corn syrup injected into your feelings, to like the feeling center of your brain. And it's just emotional corn syrup, just dragging, forcing you in here. Whereas like, you know, like even now there's like, you know, people will like draw these red lines and say, oh, if you don't support this, you're a reactionary. It's like, excuse me, everything happens in the world every day. We have 6 billion people on this planet. Do you really think that a second goes by where there isn't some like jaw-dropping injustice done? Like, especially in the country you live in, like this is every day. And yet our news, the job of our news is to very, very maliciously and very intentionally frame things.
Come on. Every news story now on like local news is like lurid crime, right? Like oh, it wasn't just a break-in, it was a break-in and a murder.
It's true, like, crime podcast, but live.
Like 90% of what news like would otherwise be is just, well, there was a car crash here. This road shut down because of construction.
Yeah.
There was a car crash here.
All news is like, fake news, like, in a sense. In the sense that the curatorial aspect is removed, right? Like the curating hand is removed. Like you're in this show that we're doing, the curating hand is visible. I'm talking to the curating hand. And when it's my show, I'm the curating hand, okay? Everybody knows
it's
that.
It's just me.
It's just like, but that's it. Like we're open. Like these are the things that I've said. Like, whereas in our news world, there are these multiple proxies. They have these proxy forces that are like the people in front of the camera who are just like plastic dolls who just like read out these whatever's written for them. Like that's our news culture. Like, except, and then there's the flip side, which is CNN, which is the world's longest running 24/7 podcast, right? Longest running and most expensive podcast on the planet. Like that's what I always have called CNN, because it's just the commentariat. But the key thing to that is just to arrange the people at the table so that they're the right people saying the right things. And that's how CNN works now. That's like what cable news has become. It's become one colossal podcast. So just don't look. Don't look. Don't go. You're missing nothing. Like, just don't.
You truly aren't.
You can't. The work is on you, the like PSYOP victim, to like unburden yourself and to like find these sources and to like ask yourself like, oh, like, what does this person say? Like, and also don't do the thing that liberals do, which is like, I find this source frightening. How dare you suggest this? And it's like, what's the point of having literacy? What's the point if you're just going to say this is beyond the pale? The fact that people like just completely turn off the critical centers of their brain when suddenly like, oh my God, did you see this happening? And it's always usually around the sort of specter of social unrest. People's like critical faculties just flush down the toilet and you can just hear it going down. And all of a sudden they're like the most earnest, like liberals you've ever met, which is everything they see on their favorite channel is true. Right. Which is like the crazy, that's insane. Like that's baby brained. Like that's Child Mind Institute of news analysis. And yet here we are.
You had literally like millions of people going out to protest, in 2021 in the summer, right, in Cuba, and like there were an entire communist that were maligned as like these liberals that wanted regime change, and they got like, there was a woman that got onto Twitter, said, hey, like that is not what I'm doing, that is my name, that is my face, I have nothing to do with this. And effectively her account has been blacklisted since, right? And
yeah, there's a surprise.
And that's one of the like more egregious examples of how this works, but like there is a entire reason why when people speak up about their own experiences, this gets buried
Their lived
so often.
experience? All the
Right?
cliches come out too. All
Oh,
the
come on, yeah.
cliches. It's always the same thing. Oh, denying the agency. It's just
Back in
we live in stupid
2014,
people hell. Like
back in
that's
like 2014, that was the biggest buzzword, denying the agency for Hong Kong, for Euromaidan,
so
and look at
stupid.
where we are now.
It's so stupid,
Anyway,
man. It's so stupid.
I personally have to go, so I do
Okay, yeah, we should roll.
apologize.
Thank you, Ian.
Hey,
I'm excited to start
thank you
this
so
project. This is
much.
your project. I'm just publishing
Absolutely.
it. Any take up all your complaints to Ian. Don't send them to me, losers.
Yes. He will include my
Yeah, take up your
Twitter
own.
at. So if you want to direct things there, throw them there.
Yeah,
Please
exactly.
do.
Leave me out of this.
Cena is but my front man
I'm your
for.
hype man at like the DJ shop. Yeah, that's Ian. Yeah, he'll go to mixtape.
We're all making it work.
Oh, well, okay, yeah, it
Okay.
sounds good.
Hey.
And I'm gonna say it again. Happy birthday to
It's
my
been good.
show. It's been fun.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate everyone who listens. I know I don't generally like do this, but every download is very like impressive to me. Like what? Like I think, I mean, a lot of it is also like, I'll say this, like the quality of my podcast is in direct relation to the quality of my guests. So like the weird thing about being like a media guy is that you learn about like allies, and you learn about like the people who are interesting, who don't get asked to come on any shows, right? And so, I would recommend that to everybody, that if you want to start a show and you have cool people, start it. Don't worry about who will listen to it. Don't think about that. Find ways to promote it that are creative. Reach out to people. Find your connections. This is corny and liberal, but like we're such a small minority. Like people like us who are like listening to this, I imagine, like our political
All of
positions,
this is so
it's
small.
so small. We're talking like we are such in a like, I hate to put it this way because like it has this kind of connotation, but we are such a tiny irrelevant chunk of the
Exactly.
general population. So like all you can do is stick together and find people who are interesting, who kind of, and that's been my lesson in 4 years. It's that like it's like the friends you make along the way kind of thing. And keep listening to the show. Support the show if you have money. If you'd like giving your money away to me personally, do that. I always like money. You should give me money if you like it. There's a ton of bonus content too. I know I haven't posted in a few weeks. I have another episode coming. It's on Charles Dickens. Definitely not. I have a special Charles Dickens correspondent, which is Christian Lehman. Support the show and review the show, please, guys. Review it. I've gotten a lot of let's say trolls coming to ruin the show's ratings. So if you can't afford it, which I understand, if you can't afford supporting the show, maybe you can support it by promoting it or reviewing it, giving a nice review, giving 5-star review on your platform. That helps the algorithm. Just stuff,
Moves things
stuff.
along.
And
Hey.
thank you, Ian. Thank you to listeners. Thank you to Daisy, she's upstairs. And thank you to like everyone. I really have to say this. There are people who helped me launch this show who are like no longer in my life. And I thank them too, just as much. And a lot of people got me here. Like it got me to the place of like 3,000-4,000 downloads. A lot of people, guests, people, listeners, patrons, people like you who just like rocked up and were like, hey, here you go. Like, so I am like eternally grateful to all of you. And I know it's corny, but it's true. So thank you, everyone. And let's keep this crazy show going.